reading today is Acts 5, verses 1 to 11. This can be found on page 1096 of the Pew Bibles and 1698 of the large print Bibles. Acts chapter 5, starting at verse 1. Now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied to men, but to God. When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died, and great fear seized all who heard what had happened. Then the young men came forward, wrapped up his body, and carried him out and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, Tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land? Yes, she said, that is the price. Peter said to her, How could you agree to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also. At that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. Then the young men came in and, finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts today that we may serve you in everything and know you in everything and go from this place different. Amen. Really glad I got this scripture. I really was praying it would go to one of the others. I didn't plan that very well, did I? But no, actually, it's a really interesting scripture, isn't it? I hope that you have all been really challenged and to up your game and really engage with each other as we investigate what church is and we look at what church is. So I hope it's really challenged you to think about how we are as a church. We have to always be developing our relationship with Jesus more intimately, don't we? Always. That is a continual thing in our lives. We'll always be talking about that. To be the church we should be, we have to be more intimate with Jesus. Is this all right? Is this echoing a bit, or is it me? Am I okay? Can you hear me okay? Cool. It's important that we are disciples, and by disciples I mean that it's not just people who follow, but people who become more like Jesus. It's very easy to follow someone, but actually if it never impacts who you are or what you become, it makes no difference, does it? So that's why we talk about discipleship, not just following. We want to be different. So I want to really encourage you all as well to carry on and keep engaging with Scripture. I call it doing theology. We all do theology, you know. We're frightened of that word, aren't we? But actually, we all do that. We should be engaging with Scripture. To do that together, always keeping Jesus central to everything. He is God. He died, he rose, and it is relationship with him through the Spirit that should always be our priority, always. Oh, I'm whistling. There we are. I'm okay now. There we are. This scripture today is pretty hard, isn't it? It's hard to get our heads around, and maybe we'll never fully understand, actually. It's quite a unique story in the Bible in lots of ways. In the New Testament, not the Old Testament, obviously. The forgiveness and grace offered through Jesus was actually quite a new way to them as well. You know, son, Jesus died, he's alive, and grace and freedom in that was quite a new concept. It's a new way for them. In order to make a difference, though, we have to take the gospel message seriously. We have to take living as Christians seriously. How we live matters. Who we are matters in Christ. And I suggest that today we must remember as well that God is mighty, he is great, he is majestic, he is just, he is powerful, and he is absolutely beyond our understanding, by the way. We see God through Jesus. We see parts of him. We don't see him all. We will when we see him face to face. One day we'll see God face to face, we'll see Jesus face to face, and we'll know it all then. But we can't understand everything, can we? We have at times tried to bring God, I think, down to our level rather than going to his as well. And by this I mean it's very easy, isn't it, for us to take God for granted. We can think it's okay to do what we like and no thought of consequences. The amount of times I have conversations with people and they're going on about the consequences of something that they've actually done themselves. I think God's heart must break when we live like that. The truth is, the people of the Bible knew that there were consequences when they lied and they hid things. And the truth is, when we lie, when we hide things, is it not true? There are consequences. When I have behaved certain ways, there have been consequences in my life. That's the way it is. And it's because of me, not anything else. The good news for us is that Jesus is God. He has come to the world not to condemn, but to save us. And this salvation extends beyond you and me, but to the whole of creation, by the way. It's bigger than us. And by that, I do not mean that we do not still choose. We still choose Jesus. But Jesus will bring the whole of creation into order when he returns. In Romans 8, it mentions how the whole world is groaning and waiting for us to sort ourselves out. It reads this, it goes, "For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into freedom and glory of the children of God." Everything we do affects everything around us. And when we do not glorify God, when we are not glorifying God, then that is not a good thing. We are choosing the wrong path. We are meant to glorify God. We affect the things around us. We are choosing a path away from God. We are choosing a path away from the new creation when we are not glorifying God in our lives and who we are as God's people. We are the PR, if you like, for Jesus on earth today, you and me. It's quite scary, isn't it? But it's true. We are. It matters. So in the scripture, we have a church that is a brand new community, a church that gives generously, a church with one purpose. We talked about the purpose and the vision, haven't we? We have a church that is into kingdom work, and there's this amazing stuff happening all around. Can you imagine? Do you know, years ago, I had a time of prayer. It was a long, long time ago, and it was a time of prayer. And Jesus very clearly, I felt him say to me that Satan was in the church. And it was quite significant at the time that I recognized that he is actually in the church. And it showed me how we are so good at destroying ourselves that we're actually quite often doing the business of Satan. And we can, can't we? We can destroy ourselves so often. The lack of grace, the lack of generosity, the lack of love shown at times within the church means that we actually do, in fact, force people away from Jesus instead of lead them to him. And we've got to think about how we are and who we are together. The previous scripture shows us how the church was coming under fire. It was very much starting a persecution. There was a lot of persecution going on. And it was starting to really happen in the church. This scripture here shows that attacks come from different angles, actually. Leatherwings, I like to call him Leatherwings, as I call him, seriously wants to destroy the church, by the way. He does. There's no qualms about that. He wants to destroy the church. Wants to destroy the work of Jesus. That is what Satan does, destroys the work of Jesus. And there is no better way to do this than to deceive those inside the church, internally. And here in this scripture, we're reminded that God wants us to be honest about who we are. Honest about who we are. It's not about possessions, this, by the way. Nothing to do with that. This is about right attitude. This is about condition of our heart. That's what this is about. The thing is, if our heart doesn't belong to Jesus, if we're not letting the Spirit into our lives, into our life, and live in that way, if we say one thing with our mouth, but we believe something different in our heart, or try to deceive God by not being truthful with him, then we're lost, actually. were lost. The selling of possessions to benefit the community is not a condition of membership to the church. So you can now just stop panicking about that. It's not a condition, member of church. We are not a cult. Our giving is and always will be a choice. It should always be something we feel the Spirit is challenging us to do, and we should always be willing, because our heart is willing, because God has done that in us. That is not the issue here about the possessions. Jesus is looking for us to be truthful, honest. Think about the Samaritan woman in John 4, one of my favourite stories in the Bible, the Samaritan woman. How Jesus deals with this woman is so amazing. She meets Jesus at the well. What was it that Jesus loved about her? Not her perfect life. It was actually far from perfect, wasn't it? It was quite imperfect. But the fact she told him the truth. Read it. Look at it. I have no doubt how she changed her life after meeting Jesus. I'm sure that her life changed, because you can't meet Jesus and not change. That's the truth. It just happens. When the Spirit gets hold of you, your life changes. Who you are changes. But he was looking beyond the superficial, and he was more interested in the condition of her heart. She shared that she'd had 5 husbands, and the man she was now with wasn't even her husband. She certainly wasn't seeking her own glory in that, was she? She wasn't trying to hide stuff about herself to make herself look good. She was laying herself transparently before this man, Jesus, and he doesn't judge her, does he? There's no judgment there. He, in fact, lifts her up. Really lifts her, encourages her. She had a heart that was so open to God. That's what changed her life. We see this in the scripture from last week as well, in Acts 4:36. Barnabas is a comparison that they're using here with the story with them, Ananias and Sapphira, had the right attitude. He had the right attitude. He sells a field, he gives this money to the kingdom work, but not because he wants to look good, doesn't care about how he looks, but because he is responding to the love of God in his heart. Completely different attitude to giving, wasn't it? And here we have Ananias and Sapphira. They're actually lost before they even start, aren't they? Their hearts are not right. And it's quite scary when you think about it. They are amongst all this stuff happening, all these miracles, all these people coming to know Jesus. They would have seen all this stuff going on, and yet they still hadn't opened their hearts to God to let him do stuff with them. They're seeking still to look good, aren't they? They want to look good. Isn't that they kept the money? That's immaterial. It was theirs to choose to keep or to give. That's the point. It's that they lied. They lied. And not only that, it was an intentional lie. They both gave their answer, and it was cleared it was a planned lie. So I didn't know that Ananias had died, and she gave the same answer. You see the test in there, can't you? And you may say, that seems really severe, the sentence that was given to them. It's a severe sentence, isn't it? And it isn't the apostles or the church that punished them. It appears to have very much come from God. God hates it when we're hypocritical. That's the truth. When we say one thing, but in our heart we are living another way. And when it is deliberate and it's to test the Spirit, do you know, we cannot fool God. None of us can fool God. You and I cannot fool God. The problem here is that they were pretending to be generous. Look at me, how generous I am. They wanted to look good, like they were giving it all, when in fact they're only giving in part. The issue isn't that they gave part, it's that their hearts are deceptive. So when Ananias realized that he'd been caught lying, the Spirit says he dies. And Sapphira also has deception in her heart, also dies. We think, whoa, it's quite scary this. I don't want you going home in fear. But I do think we need to take how we treat God seriously. And I think there was a lesson here, and there's a message here. Take God seriously. Maybe we need to ask ourselves some questions about how deceptive we can be. We can all be deceptive, can't we? We can deceive ourselves. Are our motives right? Are our motives just to get our own way? Now, sometimes we just want to get our own way. We might even make all sorts of excuses, reasons we do so, because actually, you know, this, that, and the other. Actually, is it that I just want to get my own way? You know, I just want that particular hymn to be sung, so I'm going to make sure that I kind of get that happen in a right way. You know, that kind of thing. That's a minor thing. But you know what I mean? Sort of deception. Sometimes we want our own way, don't we? Make all sorts of excuses. Do you really share everything with God, or do you hold back? Do I hold back? The thing is, to be the church, we have to be honest and open. We have to live a life that is honest with God. Do you know, it's not the truth that is the issue, whatever that is. It's the lies we tell to look good. Truth God can deal with. He can't deal with when we're lying. It doesn't matter how messy it is. God wants us open and honest and real and authentic. It's one thing about Jesus, isn't it? He's so authentic, so real. Most of our favourite characters in the Bible tend to be the authentic ones, don't they? The ones that mess up and then God puts them right. And you know, we love those characters because they're real. And actually they end up looking much better than the ones that have tried to look good. We see here that Peter has supernatural insight into the situation. But it's through their own deception that they are cursing themselves. It's their own deception. It comes from them. We must take sin, doing things wrong, seriously. And it's very easy to start pointing fingers, isn't it? We're very good at that, looking at everyone else's, aren't we? And I really wish we spent more time looking at our own and dealing with our own stuff and not worrying about everyone else's. I really do. I'm very good at that. And let's be often we do exercise a sin list. There are worse sins and that others do, and then there's mine. You know, we can very much deceive ourselves thinking that we're okay. But actually the state of your heart is actually the measure that Jesus is interested in. He's interested in the state of your heart. How do you love? How do you love? How do you show grace? Sometimes it's better to be gracious than right, actually. That makes sense. Sometimes I've laid something down and thought, do you know, it's better I'm gracious in this situation than make my point. Sometimes. Are you in the light? Are you honest? Are you real? If we do everything in love and truth, even if we mess up, God sees our intentions are good. As we walk knowing his love and showing his love, that has a knock-on effect, and our life changes. Our life changes, but it's about the being before the doing again. I don't keep going on about that. More being with Christ, the more intimacy we have with the Holy Spirit, the more we know God internally and allow him inside our lives, will come out of our doing and our other bits. God wants you to let him in your life, including the mess. He's interested in the messy bits. The bits we don't know how to handle that. He's interested. So what caused their deaths here? Was it because they realised they'd been caught? Were they just so afraid and shocked, I asked myself, because they realised that they were now in danger of losing eternal salvation because they'd lied to God? Was it just a shocking thing? Was the shock of it the course of death? For Ananias, who didn't have time to repent after the fear took over him. Was it, wow? And Sapphira in verse 8, she did have a chance actually to put herself right, didn't she? There was a space there. She doesn't. Her husband's died. She'd been found out. Quite shocking scripture, isn't it? What can we learn from it, though? The "but" in the opening verse encourages us again to compare the attitude of Barnabas against these two. One who is righteous and generous, and then these two who are liars and deceptive. I wonder how many of us make excuses about our lives and our giving, pretend we are doing more than we are even. It's not about giving more, again, it's about being honest and open and real and authentic. So what can we learn about being church from the scripture? First, we need to guard our hearts, don't we? We need to guard our hearts. And by that I mean we need to check our hearts. What's my intentions here, really? We need to be honest and open. Why did I put that person down? Is it because I wanted to make myself feel better? Why did I point that person's sin out? That was just for the sake of it, because they can't see mine then. Why wasn't I loving in that situation? Now, so we need to guard our hearts. Are my intentions because I want something for my own self, or are my intentions because I actually do want to see the glory of God and see people come to know Jesus and their lives changed and, wow. Am I willing to step back and let other people go forward before me? Or am I really trying to get round so I get at the front, you know? What are my intentions? What conditions my heart in? How are we going to guard our hearts so we become people who really go out there and make a difference? We cannot deceive God. If we try to deceive God, we're actually deceiving ourselves. You can't deceive God. He sees it all anyway. And as a community, we've got to be generous. We've got to be generous with each other in every way. And generous with the community we live in, and open. Open. Nothing hidden. The root of the word occult is hidden. Nothing hidden. Open, honest, in the light. I love those scriptures about walking in the light. Just seeing everything. Who we are. Loved by God, as I am, with all the things about me that are not right. He just loves me, and he's changing me all the time because I'm letting him. Isn't that just the way we want to be? Allowing the Spirit to change us, change our hearts, helping us to live the life, to be glorious, generous people of God who lead others to know him. So we need to really take time today. I want to encourage us to take time to get our hearts right today. To give our own agenda to God, whatever that agenda is, even if it seems godly, but to ask him to reveal his agenda to us instead. Lord, what is your agenda for this church here? What is your agenda for New Barnet? What is your agenda for my life? What is it your plan, not mine? What is your way, not my way? Asking the Spirit to fill us, change us, renew us. So we're fully his in every way. And then we can see this nation changed for Jesus. I'm interested in the nation, interested in the world actually, but seeing the nation know Jesus. And that happens as we become more like him. And as our hearts are his. I want to just encourage us just to sit for a quiet in a moment. And this time of sort of confessional time, if you like. And I want to give you a moment now just to think maybe about just laying your own agenda down, picking up God's, and just putting your heart right with him now. Thank you, Jesus, that you came to restore us, to release us, to fill us and to forgive us. Lord, let us receive your forgiveness when our hearts have been deceptive, when we haven't shown love to others, when we've judged. Lord, by the power of your Spirit, come and fill each one of us here this morning. That we'll be of one vision, one purpose, one hope, you. That our hearts will be right. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Lord Jesus. Equip us, Lord, to go from this place, to serve you together, to be your people, to extend grace. And help us, Lord, to even forgive ourselves, to be the people of God you've called us to be. To receive your love and your generosity. Thank you, Jesus, that you love us. I'm going to invite the band up now. We're just going to move into a time of worship. I just want to continue. And just pray that we just continue in there. If you want to stand, if you can, if you can't, that's fine. Please stand. Holy Spirit, just fill us, continue to fill us, to change us, to mold us, to make us who you've called us to be, Lord. By the power of your Spirit, release in us new things. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Lord Jesus. Let us worship in spirit and in truth. That our hearts may be filled with who you are, changed by you.